Hello, you're welcome to Otis Stories. Hallelujah. My name is Mrs. Elo, and you're on to a world of inspiring, life transforming, faith lifting stories. You know, I'll be so glad to have you on our Telegram channel, t.me/Otis Stories, or I would also encourage you to visit our website, otisstories.com. So, the story that we're going to be looking into is titled The Early Harvest. The Early Harvest. Do you desire that your expected harvest comes to you early without delays? Do you want to learn how to harvest immediately and greatly? Then you need to listen to this life transforming story. So here's the story, and I'll be narrating it to you. I woke up that morning with an urge to give my car out. It was the only car I had. Being a married man and a father to a 7-year-old boy, it was really a very tough decision to make. How was I going to take my son to school and bring him back every day? How would my wife feel knowing that she would have to make use of the public transport service to work every day? It's something they've never done before, and it would look even more odd when they find out I gave out our only car just like that. Well, there is this young man in our church who had been a blessing. At the time I met him, my business was in a very bad shape. He began to join me in faith by taking out time to pray for my business without demanding for anything. Shortly after we met, my business began to spring up really fast again. The most amazing part is that he's not even a pastor or minister or church worker. Even though he's just a regular church attendee, there are great fruits of righteousness around him. In fact, he is a victorious Christian indeed. For the first 2 years of knowing him, I never ever gave him any gift of appreciation for the time he spent praying for my business to grow. Well, I think it's probably because he had never really asked me for anything. Some time ago, I was at his place for a visit. There, he told me that he'll be going for a 4-month private outreach with his prayer team, and that they were believing God for cars in order to make their navigation very easy throughout the period of the outreach. He didn't mention it as though he wanted anything from me, and I didn't really pay any attention to that. So that morning, I suddenly began to feel a strong urge to give him my car as a seed and a gift. I wrestled with this feeling all through the morning, and by afternoon, I gave up the resistance. I called my wife and informed her about the urge to sell my car. I assured her that God would give us another one. When I was done with speaking with her, I went to my son and told him that he'll need to go to school henceforth with the school's bus. I assured him that it would be for a very short while and that Jesus is in need of our car. He looked up at me and said, "Daddy, isn't Jesus in heaven? How is he going to use the car?" So I replied him, "Son, he's going to give the car to someone on earth to make use of it on his behalf and for the purpose he wants to use it for." Then he asked again, "But why our car, Daddy? Is that the only means through which he can get a car? Why does he have to take our car?"
Uh-oh.
Then I said to him, "It is an opportunity for us, son. It is a God principle to reward everyone who gives to him with something even more and better than what we gave him. In short, it's an opportunity for him to bless us and give us a better car. He seemed very happy afterwards, but it soon turned sour. He began to develop a lack of trust in God's promises to reward our seed sown, because 2 months passed, then 6 months, and then 12 months, and no car came in at all. In fact, the worst began to happen. My wife got robbed thrice in a public vehicle while going to work. She was robbed twice on her way to work in the morning, while she was robbed once on her way back from work. Her money and valuables were taken from her forcefully, but she was never hurt. After the third robbery attack on my wife, I got into a bike accident that landed me in the hospital. There I spent 4 weeks. Again, 3 weeks after my recovery, I got into another bike accident where I was badly injured. That accident was a very fatal one. I spent about 3 months in the hospital. It was really a tough time for me and my family. Even though my wife never verbally complained, her actions spoke even louder. On one particular afternoon, my wife brought my son to visit me at the hospital. Unfortunately for me, my son had met the nurse cleaning and dressing my wounds. Even though he was made to stand outside the room, he could hear me scream very loud in pain. When the nurse was through with her routine procedures, my wife and my son were allowed into the room to see me. On sighting the tear-filled eyes of my little boy, I broke into tears myself. He walked closer to my bedside and asked me the most devastating question that moved me to ask God, why? He asked, "Daddy, aren't you sure Jesus is punishing us for something we did wrong? First, he took the car. Since then, there's been no new car. See, Daddy, we are all in pains." Even though that question really broke my confidence in God's harvest, it also troubled me because it only revealed that the whole situation was forming a negative picture in my son's mind. If nothing is done to correct this, he will grow up thinking God is wicked and that he punishes his children whom he claims to love heartlessly. This I didn't want for my son at all. Even though I didn't understand what exactly was going on, I saw it as a phase. I really wished it could come to an end immediately because it was too much for my little son to chew. And it looked too complicated for me to talk to my son about. I knew undoubtedly that Jesus doesn't punish his children and that he loves us so much. But the reason for this delay and negative occurrences is what I couldn't even figure out myself. It left me with just one question in mind. Why? Why? October 28, 2011, made it 2 years after I had sold my car. I made several attempts to buy a new one, but every time the money was about to get complete, I would fall off the bike, spend weeks in the hospital, and spend the money on hospital bills. That day, I sat in the house alone. My wife had gone to work and my son had gone to school. I decided not to go to the office that day as my heart felt too heavy with disappointment and discouragement. As I sat in the living room with a glass of water, trying to figure out the way forward with this issue, Pastor J drove into my compound. Pastor J is a junior pastor at my local church. He has been a great source of comfort and had visited me regularly at the hospital. But never for once did I disclose to him that I had sold my car and have experienced one embarrassment or the other because of this seed I had sown. He only visited me in the hospital and prayed for my recovery when he heard I had an accident. On sighting his car, I went out to welcome him and to bring him in, but he refused to come in. He said, "This is the most expensive car I have gotten so far. I bought it about a year ago. 8 months ago, God instructed me to pray for you and not stop until the burden to pray for you lifts. Only 6 months ago, God told me to give you this car. Sir, it was a very difficult decision for me to make. The more I resisted, the more I felt a burden to pray on your behalf. 2 months later, my wife told me that God had told her that we should sell this car to you. I was alarmed because I never told her that I was resisting to do so. Just when I was about to make up my mind to bring this car to you, someone approached me to buy this car at a very mouth-watering price. I began to reconsider giving it to you. I felt that it would be better to sell the car and send the money to you instead, so you could buy another car or even two cars with it. Well, my wife wouldn't let me be, and the burden to pray for you became even stronger. Please take your car. The buyer is still interested in buying it, just in case you prefer the money." When he was done, I looked at him and hugged him with tears rolling down my cheeks. I said, "I won't sell it. I won't sell it. You don't know how long I've waited and suffered before this car finally came." So I narrated to him everything that had happened, how I became callous and how the delay had affected the mind of my son, the countenance of my wife towards me, and my inner peace. When I was done, he looked at me and said, "The delay was not from God. You just didn't know how to harvest." He went further to explain, "A lot of Christians know how to sow, but they do not know how to harvest. Just like the farmer, they know how to go out to the field to put their seeds into the soil. But the issue is that they never make attempt to go out with their tractors and all to the field to harvest early. The harvest always comes, but it often remains in the field, or sometimes are attacked by the enemy, Satan. Once a Christian sows, his or her harvest comes from God almost immediately, but the delays are not from God. They are from us. We are expected to keep calling our harvest to come to us. Pray for your harvest to come until you begin to see it manifest. See, God saw you were not harvesting your harvest, and he placed in my heart to harvest on your behalf. If I wasn't praying on your behalf, I could have resisted the burden to give you this car eventually. but continuous prayers were made by me. You see, my continuous praying for you also resulted in my wife stepping in, and she helped me to easily resist the temptation of selling this car. You never can tell how many people God had led to deliver a better car to you. But tremendous power was not continuously made available to stop the devil from discouraging these people from giving it to you. They probably may have resisted the leading until it lifted. Daniel in the Bible prayed, and his answer was delivered immediately. But do you remember that the answer was hijacked? With his praying continuously for the answer, with the assurance that God always answers, he cooperated and joined forces with God to enforce that the answers be delivered to him. It is not pride or arrogance to write down every seed that you sow. As a matter of fact, you need to write them down so you can call the harvest on every of those seeds to come to you as often as possible till they begin to manifest. Don't cross your hands and legs after sowing. Go for your harvest immediately because it is already here. Just as sowing is intentional, harvesting is also intentional. Sowing and harvesting is not a game of luck. It is an intentional process. After his explanation, he prayed with me and left. You needed to see the smile on my face. It was a great relief to have something to explain to my little son when he returns from school. I picked him up from school that day, and I was so proud to say, "Son, Jesus has brought the car, and the delay was from Daddy, not Jesus." As a matter of fact, Jesus loves us so much that he used someone to help us with our harvest. Henceforth, every of our harvests would begin to come in early. That car was actually just the beginning. I formed the habit of spending 30 minutes every day in calling forth every pending harvest. And in just 1 month, we had 10 cars. Everyone who brought them said God had told them 2 years ago to bring the car to me, but after a while, they forgot about it. But suddenly, they were reminded again and didn't have any rest till they brought it. As I received those cards with thanksgiving to God, I also taught them how to harvest. To me, it's harvest. I gave out just one car. I got 10 expensive cars. But to each of them, it is a seed sown. Hallelujah. Amen. Your harvest is already here. There is no need for the delays. Go out now and get your harvest. Wow, thank you for listening to this amazing story, The Early Harvest. The Early Harvest. Wow, and right now I feel like praying for my harvest. I feel like taking 30 minutes right now. 30 minutes right now to pray for my harvest. So if you have sown seeds before and you felt like you wasted your money, you wasted your time, your effort, you know, seeds are not just only in cash, but you know, seeds most times are in cash, but whatever you have sown as seed, cash or service rendered or love giving and all that, and you felt like it was all a waste, please, it's not. Your harvest is ready. Don't allow it spoil in the field. Of course, it may have been attacked by Satan, but you have authority over Satan because right now he is a defeated foe. All you need to do is call in your harvest. Send your angels to go and bring them to you. Continue, don't stop until you get 100%, or as the scripture says, 100-fold of your harvest. God bless you. Thank you for, you know, listening to the story. I look forward to having you in my next story next Sunday. I love you from Otis Stories and from me, Mrs. Elo. If you are led to give to Otis Stories, please go to our website, otisstories.com, 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 or you could place a call through or WhatsApp our number +234 7035524042, and I'll respond to you with the give links. So what your seeds are used for in Otis Stories is to reach more people with these faith lifting stories and get more people to access the stories. And so far we receive countless testimonies every day of how the stories are transforming lives, like amazing testimonies, all to the glory of God. It's wonderful how God can package his power so much in just storytelling. And if you appreciate what God is doing, please give or sow to the glory of God. Your harvest is sure. Not only would you call in your harvest on your part of responsibility, we at Otis Stories, I, Mrs. Elo, I spend time every day to call in your harvest on your behalf also. So just as it happened in this story, I do that also, to call in your harvest on your behalf. So your harvest is sure. It's not a probability when you give to Otis Stories. Your harvest is sure. God bless you. See you later.